Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Playing for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And yes, welcome to another Sunday of Urban Society. For those of you who know, tomorrow is the first day of spring. Just then, I happen to have seen that on the news earlier in the week. I turned to the Weather Channel. I watch that more often than not now, thanks to the Trumpster, Life in the Trumpster, as one of my Facebook friends likes to call it. And I have seen that spring starts at, I think, it's 6:18 tomorrow morning, officially speaking. It's what they call, something to do with the Vernonox. 6:18 in the morning is when it starts, and it will be officially spring. God bless for that. Tired of this winter madness. Okay, so we have a few issues to go into tonight. Our first issue would be actually my troubles in the workplace. Second issue would be Frederick Douglass. A third issue will be words on the movie Get Out, and then miscellaneous issues. Yes. But before we go there, I'd like to read out this preamble to the show. It's from the Honorable Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass said as far back as 1883, I believe it was, 1886 even, he had said, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. And that's a truism. That's a truism. Even John F. Kennedy, when he was around, he had said words similar to that. I kind of forget the way he actually put it, but I think he has said something like something about like when the poor aren't secure, neither are the rich. But unfortunately, many people, they don't get that yet. They don't get that yet. I guess so long as a certain class of people think that so long as there's enough policing, they can keep doing what they're doing. And it's interesting how these very same people who constantly talk about policing, these are the ones who are doing the most thievery. Actually, yes, it is. Interesting. But also, moving right along, I also now have a new thing I like to read to the show, too. It's from an author by the name of Thomas Wolfe, and he spoke on the situation of loneliness, being alone. He had said that, and I'm quoting, "The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness is the central and inevitable fact of human existence." But let me read the whole quote. I didn't do that last time, but I want to read the whole quote at this time, what Thomas Wolfe had said. He said, "The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon peculiar to myself and to a few other solitary men, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence." You know, I was thinking about this quote today, and then again, I was remembering also something that was mentioned about listeners who listen to Dollhouse Radio. And I remember having heard that a lot of people who are unfortunately imprisoned, they listen to the Dollhouse Radio Network. So for those of you who are unfortunately at this point in time incarcerated and being alone, yo, the thing is to adjust to that. Don't feel that, well, as he has said, don't feel that it's something peculiar to yourself because you find yourself now in that situation, but come to grips with it and understand that even those of us who are out here, we have to grapple with the phenomenon of loneliness. I mean, there are many ways to deal with that, and for some people, the way they deal with their situation of loneliness, they push themselves on other people. They intrude upon the lives of other people, which is wrong. But all that they want to do, they want to erase that feeling of loneliness within themselves. Matter of fact, concerning loneliness and what I'm saying here, in reference to what Thomas Wolfe has said, there's a movie that I happen to have seen recently. It was called Passenger. No, not Passenger 57. This movie was more so a science fiction type movie. But many people, no doubt, probably haven't seen that movie. But in a real sense, this movie, in a sense, is predicated on the condition of being alone and what some people will do to avoid being alone, the extent to which they'll go in order not to be alone. It was a really, really interesting movie. It was interesting, highly interesting. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give that movie, I'd say a high 8. I'd give it a high 8. I mean, it was good, but it was awful. I'll put it like that. But I don't want to tell the movie for those of you who have not seen the movie as of yet, but check it out. It's called Passenger, and it's a science fiction flick, actually. And I was only able to see it because I now have what they call the Fire Stick, and naturally, well, I jailbroke it. But I watched the YouTube tutorial as to how to do that. I would have had no idea as to how to do it. Long story there. But anyway, yes, the situation of loneliness. Check out that that picture, film, Passenger. As for myself, I wouldn't do what this guy did. I just have to contend with that with myself, basically by myself and for myself. It's interesting. But also something else I want to read into the show. I had seen someone, one of my Facebook friends, they had posted something about, I'll say, for lack of a better word or term or a better way to put it, Jewish survival during the Nazi era, or Jewish survival during the Holocaust in which they went through and some came through. Yes, And on this Facebook posting, it was a woman talking about something that had transpired at that point in time when she was in a concentration camp. I mean, those movies, sometimes I look for movies like that, you know, for something like encouragement. I guess that's why I like to watch those movies, because I'm the kind of person, I like seeing men, people, women, you know, overcoming the odds, you know, enduring what's really unendurable. I like stuff like that, because I find that I find my life is a whole lot like that, which is why also that I chose tonight to bring to the show my troubles in the workplace, because like they say, it's good to talk about these things. Indeed. Anyway, what I wrote here about that posting, I wrote survivors. Because that's what it was about, surviving, survivors. Survivors are those who survive hardships. Anyway, I had said that it's interesting how some seriously struggle to survive, and then there are those who just survive. No effort on their part at all, seemingly. At some point, one who has had to struggle violently, you know the word valiant, violently, so as to survive, looks about and observes this latter person and can't help but wonder, how has this person made it thus far? Some would enjoin the biblical adage, God looks after babes and fools. I don't know what it is either, but I'm one of those. I look around and see people who are still up here, well, who are still in existence, and I wonder how in the hell are they still here? I mean, really. But I guess God bless them in a real sense. I mean, you know, I mean, just so, God bless them. But then again, there are people who have had the struggle, and then again, struggle mightily. And some made it, some didn't. But like I said, there are those who are just here. Just here. And basically, in going into my troubles in the workplace, one of those type persons are a person like that. I can look at this person, this person, and wonder, how in the hell are they here? I mean, really. But they're, you know, looking at this person, I can kind of see. I mean, this person is like seriously manipulative, you know. So she thinks. To those whom she can manipulate, she will manipulate. But then again, remember, like I said before, she's one of those people who are afflicted with what is called a syndrome of malignant narcissism. You know, it's all about her, all about her. She's one of those people who everything is about her. She feels that she's the center of the universe and or that the sun revolves around her. Totally wrong in all those thoughts. Anyway, as far back as at least 2 years ago, I think it was, when they first moved her in my area, basically she had already been moved from three other areas, basically because she either wasn't doing the work or couldn't do the work. And there might be a situation also wherein she just didn't want to do the work and think that she can still just be there and not do a damn thing. You all might know people in your own work environments who are like this or like that. Yes, it's been like that with this person. And then again, just saying, I have heard her mention that that she has a bachelor's degree. She's one of those people who likes to brag about her education. But then again, as we do know, being educated and being intelligent are two different things, and or being educated and being smart are two different things. Totally. I mean, how can I put it? In a real sense, it don't take nothing to go to school, actually nothing. All that it really takes is just you being able to go and sit in a classroom and just sit. Not learn anything, but just sit. Have like a perfect attendance. That's all that's required. Concerning you having learned something, no. It would be wished or wanted that you would learn something, naturally, but also the attendance factor is a factor also. Well, this person comes to school every day. I mean, they don't miss a day. They're here rain, sleep, or snow. They're here. So, you know, sure, they didn't learn nothing, but, you know, pass them anyway. they are a nice person. You know, they don't cause no trouble. You know, people like that. But yeah, like I said, she likes to brag about her bachelor's degree. But what I thought when I heard her mention her bachelor's degree, I thought to myself, a lot of good her bachelor's degree is doing the Veterans Administration, which is where she works, not considering she has been thus far moved out of three different work areas because she couldn't or wouldn't do the work. And then now she's in my area and don't do the work. In my area, basically, I work in a mailroom. And basically, it's the easiest job I've ever had, honestly. The job is so easy that, like, after I got the gist of it, I had to think to myself, really, is this all that it is? There's got to be more to this job than this. But it turns out, no, there is no more to this job that I do. Long story there. But anyway, the job is like easy, simple, simple, easy. But yet this person can't even do that and or won't even do it. Interesting. But anyway, when she first got, but before I go further, we're going to have to go into our first music break. And right now, I have been trying to get the playlist up to speed, but this week again is... It's going haywire, so I'm just going to have to play a song for the last 2 weeks that I was on. The playlist was up and acting correctly. But with Blog Talk, I don't know what's going on with this playlist or how they're doing it. But anyway, let's go with a song from Mila J entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. I know this is from the old playlist, but hey, got to play a song. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Yeah, I got you. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother was about shit, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me, nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me, nigga, please. I don't wanna hear about it, you can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Now you wishing you was with me, living life so chill. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you use the stress, how to lose. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me, nigga. Please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me, nigga. Please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Mila J. Entitled Friends. So back to the issue at hand concerning my troubles in the workplace. But like I said, she's the kind of person who likes to brag that she has a bachelor's degree, as if that gives her some kind of credentials. But then again, too, I guess to those who don't realize, I guess it does, until this person actually gets in their presence and is supposed to do something or perform something. Then they say, "Damn, I thought you could do this work. You have a well, it says on your records that you have a bachelor's degree." And then it might begin to be wondered, how in the hell did you get it? Did you buy it? Anyway, what I'm going to read now is something that I had written after she had been in my work area for like 2 weeks. But before I do read that, I want to also mention that I had only written this because our previous boss, who was instrumental in putting her in the area where I am now, a mailroom, she had told myself and another colleague that whatever this person does, write her up. It don't matter what she does because it's going to be wrong. Write her up. Put it in writing because the thing that was wanted to have been done at that point was to create a paper trail on her. I guess this thing hadn't been done before, but now they wanted this done. And, you know, I was supposed to be instrumental in this. But, you know, me not knowing nothing at this point, sure, I knew her, like I said before, long story there. But I didn't know how she worked or how she didn't work. It's only, well, it took time for me to see that she didn't work and didn't want to do nothing. Anyway, I had written this here because of something that had happened, something that I had observed. And I was told, well, you know, put it in writing. So I had written here, to whom it may concern, we have a situation in the mailroom with a fellow employee. I'm not going to mention her name. I didn't say that in the letter, but I'm saying that here on the air. I went further to say that she does not want to follow instructions or feel she needs not follow instructions from those beneath her in grade. Her attitude is snappish when it's pointed out to her what she's done isn't the correct way in doing what she's been previously example. In forwarding mail for individuals who are no longer here, she's been instructed that if the individual has been gone from here longer than a year, the mail is to be returned to sender. However, if the individual hasn't been gone a year, that mail is to be forwarded to the address we have in our computer. This she refuses to do. All mail that's to be re-forwarded, she automatically returns to sender. Or if not that, even individuals who are here, their mail is also returned to sender. Basically because she does not want to look that individual's name up so as to see if he or she is here. This kind of action is not a good look for the proper functioning of the mailroom. Individuals want their mail and should get their mail. Then I wrote, a concerned individual. That was the first thing that I wrote up on her. And basically, that was, like I said, after her only being there like 2 weeks. And I had, you know, I had observed that attitude in her. But now, understand, previously, I had known she was like that. Because I have seen her in other areas and going by like you do in the workplace. You just speak to in and everybody. You know, well, you speak to those whom you know you can speak to and or with. Okay, so she was one of those people. I mean, I had no real dealings with her. I didn't know her really from Adam or whatever, or Eve. But anyway, but I now know what I know because of a situation that I'm coming to. Okay, I think I'll read this first because, let's see here. What I'm going to read here now, this, like I said, she had been there for like since 2014. I think it was around April, May when she came to my area, 2014. And then now this is now 2016. And also at this point, we are under a different agency in the place where I work. Okay, so therefore the bosses are different too. And, well, it's a long story, but let me just go on and read what I've written here, and then some of what has taken place will come out in what I've written. Okay. I state here that I've been requested or directed to write this statement per a conversation a colleague and myself had on the morning of 17 July 2016. The conversation started per a phone call that she had gotten from someone working out of the warehouse concerning a package that had been misdelivered and was missing. The package was to have gone to a certain person who works out of a certain building. When she had finished speaking with the person on the phone, she approached me at my desk and asked, how does she find out who signed for a package? I got up from my desk, and we both went to the computerized tracking system the mailroom has. I asked her what was the tracking number of the package. She didn't have it and had to call the person making the inquiry about the package for the tracking number. The person she called gave her the tracking number, and I proceeded to demonstrate the procedures for finding who signed for the package and when it was signed for. Okay, because I thought the package had been signed for recently, I only looked at the month of July entries and some of the month of June. To digress here, if she had taken time, considering the time she's been in the mailroom, to learn how to track packages, I'd not be writing any of this at this time. Anyway, the entry as to when the package was signed for wasn't found. I then asked her to call the person back and get the date on or about when the package arrived and had been signed for. She called the person back and was given the date the package arrived and was therefore signed for. It turned out that the package had arrived during the latter part of the month of May. With that date, I was then able to find the package had been entered into our computerized system. The package had been signed into our computerized tracking system, but it wasn't shown who signed it out of the mailroom. Therefore, concerning this issue, all that is known is she signed the package into the mailroom, but there's no signature indicating who signed it out of the mailroom. Since any mail packages included that comes into the mailroom, we/I seek to ensure that it goes out of the mailroom the same day. If we're not requested to hold on to it for someone, or if the person isn't available to pick it up right away. As I said, there's no indication that anyone signed the package out of the mailroom. Thus, all that is known at the time, if the package hasn't been yet found, is she signed the package into the mailroom. Now, what's at issue here between this person and myself evidently is, I had said to her, due to this situation of the package, this is why it's important that you know how to operate the handheld scanner. I forget all the words or excuses she brought up, but I reminded her I had shown her how to operate the handheld scanner and that she had taken notes. However, per those notes she had taken, she still didn't know or elected not to know how to operate the handheld scanner. This was brought to my attention by her electing to make a Xerox copy of the tracking number instead of using or applying the procedure on the handheld scanner. The handheld scanner is what's used to capture a signature of the person who received the package leaving the mailroom. That signature is then computerized and is how we know who signed for any package. When I had seen her doing this, I asked her, why don't you use your notes? She replied, I lost them. Now, this morning, again, she was giving me a lot of excuses about why she doesn't yet know how to operate the handheld scanner. I reminded her about the notes she said she lost, and then she really started talking a lot of nonsense. She even said during our last conversation about her lack of knowledge of the handheld scanner that I told her to get management to show her how to operate it. Getting management to do anything is not even part of my vocabulary nor mindset. All that's in her head. At that point, I told her, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Basically, I was done talking to her, as I've been on many occasions in an attempt to relate to her on the operations of the mailroom. It was then that she simply got up from her desk, walked out of the mailroom, didn't tell no one where she was going, didn't even so much as say, I'll be back. This is normal behavior for her. If you ask me, her having made a point of contact statement or whatever is basically a deflection from her signature being responsible. Let me back up and read that again. If you ask me, her having made a point of contact statement or whatever is basically a deflection from her signature being the responsible one for having signed for the package that's still not found as of this writing. She still does not know how to use the handheld scanner and does not care to learn how. Basically, I had to write that statement because after, like I said, the conversation that her and I had that morning, and like when she left, she went to, I guess, the union office and made up a completely bogus statement against me. Made up a statement against me about how I had said a whole lot of curse words at her. And it wasn't even true. And the thing is, the statement that I just read, I was called by our new boss. As I had said, we are no longer under the same people in management. We are under a different section now. So anyway, this new boss had called me and told me that this person has made a point of contact statement against me. And then now what I need to do is write down just what had happened that morning. And that letter that I just read is what I wrote up that morning. However, at that point in time, I had no idea what she had said. I had no idea what she had written in her statement, in her point of contact statement against me. And it wasn't until Monday morning when we had some kind of a meeting, her, myself, and our new boss and the union representative to represent her in this situation. And it was then that she read her statement. I mean, really, and like when she read that I said all those curse words that she claimed that I said, I mean, I was flabbergasted. I was shocked. Because number one, I hadn't even known that. I'll put it this way. In hindsight, I had said to myself that those curse words that she used. Number one, I don't even curse like that. Number two, as I've always say and said, I know how to curse when I do curse grammatically. In other words, I don't curse just to curse. There is method to my cursing. There's rhyme and reason to my cursing if I do have to use profanity. But anyway, the words that she used in that letter, they didn't make no sense. They didn't go together in no shape, form, or fashion. So in hindsight, in thinking back on that, I thought to myself, you know, maybe her boyfriend talks to her like that. Maybe her boyfriend curses at her like that. That's where those words came from. You know, just saying, at that point in time, I hadn't really known that she would curse on that level in which she strung those words together, saying that I said. But anyway, it wasn't until much later, which was only recently, that I came to learn that she does curse, and like, yes, she no doubt does curse like that. And those words that she put in that statement that she said, I said, those words came from her head. Case in point, I happen to have overheard her talking to someone about the morning after Trump had been elected. You know, we had gone to bed that night, woke up the next morning, found out that Trump was the president. I heard her telling someone that she was walking around her house cursing so much that her mother finally told her, girl, you need to stop doing all that cursing. It was then that I realized, so those words that she put in that statement came from her head, not some boyfriend of hers, but she does curse like that. Outrageous. I'll put it this way. The words that she used were on the same level that a sister of mine said that she had said a long time ago when she was 6 or 7 years old. And my mother happened to have heard her say those words. And my sister told me this story that my mother walked up on her and heard my sister just say the words, goddamn motherfucking shit. I mean, what? What? Those are just words. They're not related to nothing, just goddamn motherfucking shit. What they mean. But anyway, the words that she used in that statement that she said I said were words like that. Totally disjointed, related to nothing, but she said I said those words. But not those exact curse words, but words similar to that and in that kind of construction. Outrageous. Outrageous. And believe me, I was outraged that I was even sitting there to listen to this and that people who had initially heard her read this statement believed that I would say something like that. Matter of fact, they were even telling me, well, James, we know you wouldn't say nothing like that because we don't see that as part of your character. But, hey, it's her word against yours or your word against hers. Outrageous. But yet, like I said, it was just awful that they were even considering the validity of her words attributed to me. It was sickening, and I'm still sick behind this. Yes, I am. Anyway, I had just written recently, but before I go further, we're gonna have to go into another music break. And right now, the playlist is even worse than what it wasn't. Okay, because I've got a song here that I've never seen before. But I'm going to go on and try and play it if it will stop moving up and down here. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. Being that this thing is continually moving, I'm just gonna have to. I'm gonna forego playing a song, because it is not stopping, unless I just click somewhere. Let me see here. I'm sorry for this, people. But you know, there's always glitches in any system. You know, we just have to work around those glitches that are apparent. And this is one of those times. So in order to work around that, I'm just going to go on and continue with the show until this thing settles down. But okay, so just recently, matter of fact, just this year, it was March 9th. I had written this because, understand, like I said, the letter that I had just read from was from back in July. So therefore, this issue that I'm talking about happened initially in July. And I'm still having reverberations, or I'm still having fallout from then until now. Because also, just saying, right now, me and this person don't even speak. Well, more so, I don't even speak to her. Matter of fact, I don't even recognize her. I really don't. Well, long story there. But just to let you know, at one point after, well, soon after this situation, that statement, then it kind of, you know, fizzled down. She had the nerve to, when she was leaving, she was going to tell me good night. I ignored her. Then again, on two other occasions, she told me good night, and I ignored her on those occasions too. So then she now knows, don't say nothing to him, because I'm definitely not going to say nothing to her. But then again, if we do speak, like I told her, let it only be about the work that we're doing. If it's not about the work that we're doing, we don't have nothing to say to each other. We got to work here 8 hours a day and be around each other. So let us work as we work. We ain't got to be friends. So anyway, I thought it had stopped here for a bit, but So anyway, I had written this here. I said, imagine being in an office environment with one other person. Let me start that again. I said, imagine being in an office environment with one other person and yourself. This other person gets into a situation because something is misplaced. This person then decides to pull a deflectionary move. Her deflection is to bring you into a situation by writing a false statement to supervisors and union representatives. In this statement, she states you spoke a flurry of profane words at her, then says she now feels she's in a hostile work environment. In the same statement. Then I wrote, this actually happened. It happened back in July 2016. Although it was proven she lied in or on that statement, she's still in the work area with me. In my mind, she has made my work environment hostile. I haven't spoken to her since that time, unless it involved the functioning of the office area. It's really a mental drag / drain having to work in close proximity to a person like this. And then I had written, I will read this part. I had said, a consolation is, if it is, I'm actually able to go to sleep much earlier now, right after the work day is done. After drinking what I refer to as my after work day tea, I start watching a movie. Interestingly, I eventually find myself dozing. It's then I'll turn over and pass out. I say pass out because I don't know if I fall asleep or if I pass out, because I think there's a difference between falling asleep and passing out. I just think there is a difference. But anyway, I have written further that in my mind, I think this is due to the mental strength it takes in being around this person I've mentioned. 8 hours all day, every day, she's an awful person. Yeah, to go back into what I just read there, Yes, I have said this actually happened. It happened back in July. Although it was proven she lied in or on that statement, she still works in the area with me. Now, one might ask, okay, how was it proven? Okay, it was proven because there was another person in the office, because actually there are three of us who work in my area, okay? And now this other person who works in the area, he was also there that morning. So, therefore, he couldn't have heard me use those words at her because I didn't use those words. But, however, because she's such a, she's such a pathological liar and such a, well, she thinks she's manipulative. That's what she thinks, because she feels that whatever she says is going to be believed. But you know what? She proved something by having written what she wrote, especially attributing those profane words to me. It was said a long time ago. The bigger the lie, the more it's bound to be believed. The more, in other words, the more outrageous the lie, the more it's bound to be believed. And to me, that was a big lie, a really outrageous lie for her to say about me. I mean, it was seriously slanderous. I mean, really. But anyway, so as I was saying, this other person was in the office, and he didn't hear that because I never said that. However, because in her statement that she read out, she even mentioned that this other person was in the office and he heard me say those words. However, but you see, that's the nature of a pathological liar. They just lie. But anyway, because she mentioned him in her statement, they got with him and they asked him if he heard me say those words. And he had to say, no, he didn't. But it turns out that although he said he didn't hear me say those words, they come back to me and say that, well, it wasn't actually proven that you didn't say them. It was only proven that he didn't hear you say them. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? But like, that's what they ran on me after. It was no longer just my word against hers or her word against mine. We have a third party here now. We have another individual here now. But like, evidently to them, like I said, they say, well, it's not that he. Whatever they said, because this shit is one of those convoluted situations, and I don't go there like that, because I'm also a straight up person. I don't dibble and dilly dally and try to, you know, split hairs when there's no need for hairs to be split. I'm straight up. But anyway, so like, that was that, and like, that's why, well, I am still where I am, and why the issue is still where it is, and evidently why she's still in the area where I work. Anyway, concerning a pathological liar, I had written this here. I said, how are you going to tell a pathological liar to stop lying? Actually, easy. Easy to talk if one has the ability to form words. Yet, will a pathological liar stop because you ask him or her to? Let's let that question simmer, marinate. And just saying... I have another, let me see how this board is working here. Because I am actually going to try to play the music, if I can play the music. And we'll just have to, this thing is still jumping all around. Anyway, this is something else that I had to write up because, well, remember, as I said before, the previous boss that we had there over our area had said, once she was put in that area, because she couldn't work in those other three areas where this person was also boss, they just wanted her out of the way. And then now, evidently, they were trying to get rid of her, evidently. But at this point, it's no longer like that. But I'll come to that later on. Okay. But as I was going to say, you know, I was told at that point in time, you know, whatever she does, write it up. And at that point, I wasn't with that then, because I didn't know she was as she was then. Matter of fact, I wasn't with that until she pulled that dumb stuff on me, just going to lie on me like that. And like, the thing is, one has to figure or consider, you know, why would she do that? What was her purpose in doing that in the first place? Could it have been because we are now under new management as opposed to the old management. And it could be a situation wherein it's obvious to her that I know what I'm doing, and it's obvious to her that she don't know what she's doing, and eventually it will be seen that she don't know what she's doing, or she don't know the half of what I know what to do. And then therefore it'll be back to square one. What the hell are you doing in here if you can't do the work? But that's another issue. But anyway, moving right along. But let me give our calling number here. You all might want to chime in on this issue, because I'm quite sure people who do work are or have had similar situations to that I'm describing now. Anyway, our calling number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and give me some feedback, because, there are a lot of people who want to give me a lot of opinions as to what I should or shouldn't do. But moving right along. Something else that I had to write up on her, because like I said, at a certain point, no matter what she was doing after what happened, I was writing up everything. Everything she did, I was writing it up. And at this point, I had written, now this was written on, soon after what happened. This is dated Wednesday, 27 July, 2016. I had written, today as on another day this week, this person came back from the mail run, but the postal truck had already come and gone for the mail pickup for the day. The mail pickup for today will have to go. I had written the mail picked up for today will have to go out with tomorrow's mail. I'm informing you all of this because there's no actual reason for this person to have come back so late from the mail run other than her own reasons. Then I wrote further. This person left the mail room. I don't say this person, but I put the person's name in there. But I'm saying this person here for the radio. Anyway, I wrote, this person left the mail room on or about 10 a.m. and didn't get back until on or about 12:30 p.m. The postal truck comes every day between the hours of 12 p.m. and 1 p.m., more regular than not. It might sound or seem as if I'm nitpicking, but I'm not. I'm only doing now what I should have been doing a long time ago. Just saying, on an occasion, this person had left the mail room. She'd been gone for a while from the mail room. Anyway, I had to go down to the pharmacy for something. When I got there, I saw this person sitting in those chairs as if she, too, was waiting to be served. She volunteered the information that she was waiting for the outgoing pharmacy packages. That's when I reminded her, as if I had to remind her, that pharmacy brings their pharmacy packages to mail to us. This person then said she knew, but she figured she'd wait, but had no idea it was going to take this long. Anyway, I got the medication I had come for and left. She was still sitting there. See, she does what she wants to do. I had mentioned that because that's exactly the way it is. She does just what she wants to do, and nothing more, nothing less. And then the very next day, because believe me, I'm writing now. But anyway, I see here that we have a caller here. I'm going to stop what I was doing there and see if I can't bring this caller in. It's from area code 800. So area code 800-800. You're on the line. Let me see if I can bring you in.
From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 800-645-8849 to assist you.
Let me mute that person. that's some robotic caller calling into the 2-hour number. Never mind that person. So, moving right along, I had written this here. I had said a few months ago, a person from mental health in building blank had come to the mail room with a piece of mail that had been misdelivered. While here, she felt it necessary to inform me that this person has the habit of sliding mail from their area under the door. This is done even if she and another person are sitting at their desk, she informed me. Upon this person first coming to the mail room and me showing her the mail route, I told her then, take the mail to the area it's to go to. However, if there's no one in that office, it's okay to slide the mail under the door. Later in the day, when this person and I were here alone together, I brought to her attention what was said from mental health. No, I brought to her attention what was said and what I had been informed of. This person simply insisted when she go, well, let me read this. This person simply insisted when she'd go by that office, there wouldn't anyone be in there. Having told her what I was told, I left it at that. Just yesterday, now I'm going further in saying what I'm saying so that you all can understand the kind of person that I'm working around. Just yesterday, on about 3:30 p.m., a guy I had worked with in another area approached me and said, "Yo," now this is in quotes what this other guy told me. He said, "Yo, earlier I was in the mental health area. I was standing by the door talking with the secretaries. All of a sudden, I felt something sliding against my foot. I turned and looked down and saw it was one of those large envelopes." He said it startled him. He turned back to the secretaries, and he said they told him that this person always does that. She doesn't even bother to knock or come in. She simply slides the mail for their area under the door. This is not how I had instructed her on the procedure for delivering the mail. But you see, like I said, I have been told that this is what she does, although that's not what I told her how we deliver the mail to this or that area. But yet when I told her that, she told me that whenever she goes by there, there's never anyone in there. And, you know, I just said, okay, but I'm just letting you know what I was told. But anyway, this guy came to me and told me just what I just read, that he was standing there at the door talking to secretaries. And also, the door does have a window in it. So the only way she couldn't have seen him standing there would be if she's blind. But if she's blind, she wouldn't be walking around carrying mail hither and thither. So you see, pathological liar. She just lied like that. And I wrote that up, naturally. Also, I have been informed this person does the same thing but differently when going to the director's office. The area is called the Quad, I guess because they have four secretaries there, you know, certain areas. When showing this person the mail route upon her entry into the mail room, I told her then to place the mail for each area on the appropriate desk. This, I've been told, she refuses to do. She will place all mail for that area on the desk of the closest person. I've also been told the secretary has told her that she wished she'd put the mail in its proper place. Again, she will not do it. To my knowledge, she still does not do it. This is but another situation of this person refusing to listen to others so as to do a better job than she evidently isn't doing. You see, this is the situation. And I mean, really, this situation that I find myself in is awful, and it's gotten awful. And at this point, it's even worse. But, well, I'll come to that later. I'll come back to that later. Let's see here if I want to read this out. Okay, I will read this out. This I had written back in August of 2016. I had said, working in the mail room, there's a procedure that's followed when the mail is delivered via the mail delivery truck. This procedure I have shown to this person, as was shown to me upon my initial entry into the mail room. The mail is sorted basically by reading what's written on the envelope from top to bottom. Naturally, this takes time, but that's just the reason for this point of contact statement. This person does not take the time to read what's written on the envelope and thereby know what's to be done with a piece of mail. At this point in time, I'm seriously at a loss as to what to do, as to what's to be done about this. As of this writing, on two separate occasions, this person, but for my intervention, would have had two pieces of vital mail misdelivered. On both occasions, the vital piece of mail happened to have been checks. On one of these occasions, the check was being returned to sender. It was being returned to sender basically because this person didn't take the time to identify this piece of mail properly. All she had to do, as I had done, was open this particular piece of mail so as to know where it was to go. we, in the mailroom, do have the authority to open mail if there is no other way of knowing where a particular piece of mail is to go / be delivered. On another occasion, which was just yesterday, this person assisted me in sorting mail. In this case, in sorting the mail to be delivered and junk mail to be thrown out, she happened to have placed a check, which is / was, and now will go to the agent cashier. In the junk mail, because actually what she had done was she had put the check in the junk mail pile to be thrown out. Then I had written further, with this particular piece of mail, it's written on the envelope in dark blue letters and capitalized letters, payment enclosed. On this occasion, prior to throwing out the junk mail, I took it upon myself to ensure that this person hadn't, by whatever means, thrown out any mail of importance. It was then that I discovered the piece of mail that was marked payment enclosed. Now, let me stop there just to say, at this point in time, because evidently nothing is being done about her, and it seems like nobody cares that she don't know what she's doing, now I no longer even check to see if what she has done is correct or not correct. I'm not doing it because, in a real sense, for the longest time, I have been taking up her slack. Matter of fact, so much so that another person who happened to have been in the mailroom at this point in time has said to me that, in a real sense, he said, "Yo, man, you're covering up for her." But the thing is, I never really saw myself as covering up for her. I just saw myself as doing the job, primarily because I knew that she didn't know how to do it and or wasn't going to do it. So I just figured, let me just do it, get the job done, and just get it done for 4:30 out of here like that. That was my thinking then. But until she pulled what she pulled, I guess, trying to get me out of the mailroom? I mean, by lying on me like that? Hell, I could have, if that had been, what, found that I had said, well, put it this way, if I had said something like that, and she had written that I had said something like that, those are grounds for dismissal, for being terminated from the job that I have. And like, the thing is, at the place where I'm working now, actually, it is the longest amount of time that I have worked anywhere since I've been working. The job that I've had the longest prior to this job had been when I was in the military, which was 6 years. I spent 6 years in the military, long story there, working. That was the longest job that I had held at that point in time, up until that point in time. After I got out of the military, which was in 83, I never held a job for 2 years, not even a year, because every job that I had, I was fired from, primarily because I stood up for myself. That's basically what that was all about. If I just let people, you know, run roughshod over me, well, more so white people run roughshod over me, I'd be A-okay. I'd be the kind of nigga that they like to have around them. But no. You can't do me just like you want to do me. No, I don't play that. But anyway, as I was saying, it wasn't until 2008 when I got the job where I'm working now, and I've been there here ever since. And it's now, 2017, so therefore I've now been there nine years. Like I said, this is the longest amount of time I have worked at any job. Why? Primarily because the people left me alone. Long story there. But back to what I was reading here. I have said, for the longest, I have had an issue of trusting this person with the process of sorting the mail or identifying mail. Why? Basically because I'm of the opinion, based upon what she's demonstrated, that she simply does not care. Perhaps she doesn't feel sorting and identifying mail is worthy enough to spend any of her 8-hour day on. Sorting the mail consists of reading what's on the envelope so as to determine where it's to go. Identifying the mail consists of basically two functions. One, where there's no way of determining where a piece of mail is to go unless we open it. Two, if there's a name on the envelope, but it's not known where the individual is unless we check the name against our computerized listing, pages, and or employees. As I said and or indicated, this person can't be trusted to do either. If she could, I'd not have found either of those checks in either places. Now, just consider if I hadn't been here on either of the days I mentioned in this writing. Then, too, as for me, I can only imagine the mail that she threw away or returned to sender while I was on my 2-week leave. Thus, those complaints made against the mailroom may have had and might have some validity to them, basically because of this person's work attitude, as I've described. Yeah, like I said, because I saw the way she worked, I don't trust her sorting the mail. Matter of fact, I don't trust her doing anything. Because I know for one thing, she's not going to do it, and or if she does, she's going to do it backwards. I mean, something wrong with that child, honestly. But let her tell it. She got a bachelor's degree. But okay, I thought I saw that we had another caller here, but no. That's not what it is. The boards are okay. I got the boards back straight again. Okay, but as I was saying, she likes to talk about her bachelor's degree. Matter of fact, let me also mention this. There was an occasion wherein I had gone on my 2-week leave. I took 2 weeks off. Long story there. Anyway, when I had come back, I mean, mail and packages were everywhere. I mean, there was even mail that had come in from the post office that was still in its crates, hadn't even been gone through, okay? Now, when I came back, the person who was there then, who was there to help out, before I left, I was told to show him some of the procedures in terms of what we do in the mail room. Long story there. Anyway, I did. But like when I came back, mail was everywhere. And then on an occasion, he came to me and he apologized to me for the mail room looking as it looked. Like I'm saying, he came to me and apologized to me. But wait, remember, this other person whom I'm talking about is there also. Okay? Which means that this person, she didn't do a damn thing. Matter of fact, he said that he decided he wasn't going to do that and also do what he was also tasked to do elsewhere. He said because all she did was just sat there. He even said further that on an occasion she had said to him that let's send out, well, the boss then, an email telling him how we are overwhelmed here in the mailroom. And he told her, yo, don't put my name in that. You can send it. You can send the email, but don't put my name in that email. And the thing is, she sent it. She didn't put his name in there, but she sent the email because I was told by that boss that we had then that she did in fact send him an email stating how she was overwhelmed in the mail room. Just sitting there doing nothing. And like I said, mail coming in every day, and she's sitting there doing nothing. 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 And then she's going to send him an email talking about how she's overwhelmed. And again, I mean, think of it like this. Do you think that they would allow me to have done something like that? I mean, I have been in situations, well, other situations, because this situation isn't new, although it is in fact different. But anyway, I have been in situations in workplaces wherein it was like the supervisors, it's like they expected more of me than of others. You know, if I didn't do something, you know, I may have forgotten or whatever, they would come to me and say, James, you know, I thought, better of you than this. And then I might say, well, yo, but like, what about this guy over here? He didn't do nothing either. He said, well, James, you know, I don't expect him. What? Yes. They would tell me, well, James, you know, I don't really expect anything out of him or them. So it's like you expect so much from me and don't expect nothing of them. What kind of nonsense is that? And like once I heard that, I said, okay, so this is how this works. Hey, so it's a long story there too. But anyway, so like I was saying, she actually sent the email telling the boss how she's overwhelmed and sitting there doing nothing, nothing. Anyway, when I came back, and you know, I got the situation straight. I got all the mail that should have gone out. I got all the packages that should go out and elsewhere where they should go. Anyway, once you know the situation was clear, I mean, the mail room is no longer cluttered. On occasion, when I was up doing something, and she's sitting in her chair, I said to her, I said, I have a question for you. I asked her, I said, you know the way the mail room looked when I came back, mail everywhere. I said, you don't think that had any reflection on you? Her reply was, no. And I told her then, you know, I thought you didn't. I didn't think you did. And really, I really hadn't thought that she felt that the mail room looking like that had no reflection on her. She thought it had nothing to do with her. Really? This is the kind of person that I'm in contention with right now in the workplace. And I get no assistance. And it's like nobody knows this, or they want to tell me that like I'm nitpicky. But anyway, during that same conversation, if I can call it a conversation, I said, well, I got another question. I said to her, like I said, I had asked her, you know, if she felt that the mailroom looking like it looked had no reflection on her, and she said no. And then I said, well, I have another question. I said, based upon your grade and the work, I said, based upon your grade and the money that you were paid, do you think that they're like, that's commensurate? She told me then, that's not your business. Can you believe that? And at that point, hey, I knew, you know, cut it off, shut up, don't say nothing else to this thing of a person. Actually, yes. Anyway, moving right along. Another letter I had written, a point of contact statement, a subject point of contact. I had written this here in September 2016 still, just a few months after that initial situation. I had written, I was scheduled for a class today. I didn't make the morning class, but didn't make the afternoon class. The afternoon class started at 12:30 p.m. The mail was delivered on or about 12:20 p.m. I sorted as much mail as I could before departing for the 12:30 class. I had to leave what I couldn't finish until I got back from the class. When I got, let me say before I go further, while I'm doing this, this person that I'm talking about is sitting right where she normally sits, just sitting there. Anyway, move right along. I wrote, when I got back from the class, the mail I had left was right where I left it. This person, too, was sitting right where she was when I left. She didn't lift a finger to even try and sort the mail. I finished sorting the mail. I then had to take the packages and mail over to the buildings where they were to go. Tomorrow morning is when I'll go through the process of identifying the mail by using the computer to look up the names of individuals on the envelope so as to determine where these individuals are or if they are here at all. I'm saying this to say, this person didn't even attempt to identify the mail either. She was sitting in the same spot as when I left going to the class and the same spot when I came back from the package run. Thus and therefore, what has she done all afternoon? Answer, nothing. This is again what I was telling you all in the meeting the other day. Basically, the only thing she does here is the mail run and then run mail through the mail machine. That's it. She does not sort the mail or even try to. She does not ID mail, nor does she even try. Then, too, for her to do either of those functions is doubtful that she do per procedure. Outrageous. Okay, this is something else, another. Yes, this is something else here, too. I mean, this is really something here. This here letter was written again, another letter written in September. Because remember, initially when she had come in the mailroom, the then boss, the boss at that point in time, said, whatever she does, write her up. Don't call me on the phone to tell me, write it up. Send me an email, write it up. But like I said, at that point in time, I wasn't with it because I didn't know the situation. But at this point in time, you know, September, well, like from July thus far, so far to September, I'm with it. Okay, I'm with it. Anyway, I had written this here in September. It was 28 September, almost October now. I had written yesterday, Tuesday, 27 September, 2016. While coming out of the canteen area, I noticed there was a person from the warehouse standing at the mailroom door. Upon approaching this person, he said, he had knocked for a while and loud, but realized there must be no one in the mailroom. So he figured he'd wait because he knew someone would be coming back from wherever they were soon. I informed him that someone was in there. He looked at me incredulously. At that point, I opened the outer door of the mailroom and then the inner door of the mailroom. When he noticed and or saw this person simply sitting at her desk area and staring at her computer terminal, he was shocked. Basically, He couldn't believe as often and as loud as he had been knocking that she hadn't had the mindset to open the door. Then, too, this guy had supplies that had been ordered from the warehouse for the mailroom. I had mentioned this situation of her not wanting to or refusing to open the mailroom door for whomever before. Yes, if she's the only person in the mailroom and if someone knocks, regardless to why they are knocking, she'll not move out of her chair. There is no why to this other than her own reasons. This is but another aspect of her negative mental disposition of working in the mailroom. I don't know if she was spoken to about this situation or not, but I feel she should be. Situation. Not long ago, the doorbell of the mailroom rang. It was a door to the outside parking area. She got up and answered the ring. She was talking to someone while standing in the doorway. Whomever she was talking to, she had been talking to them for a little while. Noticing she'd been doing thus, I figured she must be talking to someone who was bringing clothing or whatever for another service. This happens often. Thus, I figured she didn't know to tell the people that they could leave whatever they had to donate on the ramp, and we'd then contact someone in the other service. When I got up to inform the people, and by extension her, of this, I noticed that this wasn't the case or situation at all. What I saw was really unbelievable. I saw that it was an elderly man and a woman, no doubt his daughter. The elderly man was in a wheelchair, and the woman was standing behind him. They were basically asking or imploring of her that they be allowed to use the mailroom entrance so as to get to another building on the first floor. Once I had seen this and heard what they wanted, I told them, sure you can. I even asked the woman if there was some way I could help with getting the wheelchair for her. She said, no, just help my father up the steps, please. This elderly man even had difficulty standing up straight. He was bent over, and a veteran, therefore. I assisted him up the mailroom stairs as his daughter brought the wheelchair up the stairs. When they were in the mailroom and he was in the wheelchair again, the elderly man thanked me and said, you're a real gentleman. Instantly, I thought to myself, I can imagine what he thinks of that other person, the person I've been talking about throughout the show. Anyway, it was now that she was more than helpful in assisting them out of the mailroom. She opened both doors for them to exit. In observing how irresponsive she is toward veterans she comes in contact with, and even in phone conversations, I'm reminded of that mandatory class entitled Staff Engagement we've all had to attend. The precepts of that class are seriously lacking in this person's character and actions in the work environment. Yep. That's also an aspect. But you know what? Concerning this, what I just read there about her not even getting up to answer the door, you know, just saying, she does that now, no doubt because of what I had wrote here, because I sent it to our boss. And I guess they did decide to talk to her about that because, and also, I guess, told her that, you know, it's best to get up and open the door because she does that now. She does that now. But the thing is, though, she had to be told that. Not by me, because she wouldn't listen to me. Because prior to then, I was basically the only one getting up to open the door. But then after she was told that, I guess the other person who also is now in the mailroom, he too goes to the door when someone knocks at the door. But also, let me also say that the boss that we now have, she's also a woman. And in talking about this to her, she's going to tell me that, in a sense, she could understand why she didn't get up to answer the door. And she said that you know, being a woman, you know, she could understand her fear. And I didn't say, but, like, my thinking is, well, damn, if she's afraid, she'll not be in here then. But again, I mean, but like, this very, very same boss, I'm going to have some words to say about her later on. All right. But yeah, so as I said, per that letter there that I wrote, because it was another point of contact letter, she now does get up to open the door. But previously, nope. She would just sit right there. And if I wasn't there, she didn't get up at all. Well, matter of fact, when I wasn't there, the door wasn't answered, because she just sat right there at her desk staring at her computer terminal. If it was on or off, she's one of those people. She can just stare in space and do N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Okay, I was going to read read this out also, but that might be kind of involved. So I'm going to bypass that. You might be wondering what am I going to bypass? I guess actually I'm talking aloud to myself and saying what I just said there. But anyway, this I really want, because I'm coming to the end of this issue. It took quite a while too, but it's good to get it out, so they say. And also to let you all know what I've been going through. And also I will also let it be known that this had aside from other reasons like getting sick, and I think me getting sick is a, how can I put it, I think it's related to the issue that that I'm going through, because see, it takes a lot of energy and strength to withstand a situation like this. And as we know, the body needs all the strength that it can muster to do whatever it has to do. And then again, because I'm giving so much energy and strength to just withstanding the onslaught of this person's personality and or character, and then the onslaught of others enabling her to do what she does. It takes energy and strength. So then I guess like when it comes to, the cold season, like a lot of my defenses must be down, and thus I get sick. And therefore, that's why a lot of the shows lately I haven't been doing, because of either being physically sick or just totally depressed, But I'm getting it out now, and who knows? They say it's good to get it out. But anyway, just recently, I had what I call one of my flying dreams. Now let me say this about flying dreams that I have and have had. What I've come to realize is that whenever I do have one of these flying dreams, dreams they are. But however, whenever I do have one of these flying dreams, something in my reality actually happens, takes place. And whatever it is for the betterment of myself. I've noticed this on more than one occasion, but I'll come back to that in a minute. Anyway, I had written this out. I had said that it seems to me that individuals of an ignorant and cruel nature have always been coming for me. It's interesting that owing to this, I remember when I was evidently a toddler. I've always remembered a dream or dreams, nightmares actually, I'd have of sitting on the floor, and of a sudden I'd get the impression something or someone was in back of me. I'd look in back of me, toddler that I was, and see some impish clown-type figures, three or four of them. They were little too, like midgets. They would be at the end of a hallway-type structure at a door. They'd be beckoning to me, as if indicating for me to come to them. I had no plan of going to these things that looked like creatures. At that point, I'd start crawling away from them. See, I must have been a toddler, because I couldn't even walk. I could only crawl. As I began to crawl, the floor began to move in an escalator fashion, only backwards, thus going in the direction of the door and the creatures within the door. I'd be terrified. The faster I'd crawl, the faster the floor would move in reverse toward those creatures in the door, and they'd still be beckoning for me in a menacing or taunting way to come to them. I'd eventually awake and be glad it was only a dream. I'd have this dream / nightmare, and often at that point in my little life. A toddler that I was. Toddler. Anyway, as I grew and came to know books, I'd see pictures of those creatures that were at the end of that hallway, in the doorway, terrifying me. They looked like elves, but more like trolls. Really. You know, like in elementary, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, the books that they gave us to read about, elves and trolls. Yes, that's what those motherfuckers look like. I said, damn, these are things that used to be in my dreams. But understand, I had never seen pictures of those things before. And I think to myself, thought to myself then as well as now, where did I get that those creatures from? You know, how was their form formalized in my mind as they were, and me never having seen them before? I guess that's another issue for another time and another mindset. Anyway, I had written further, whatever, whatever, and whatever. People realize children, even toddlers, have dreams that could be nightmares. Pay attention to the children. Also, I had written further, also, there were dreams or nightmares I'd have as a toddler or child. Somebody or something was always coming after me. As a toddler, I could only crawl and fast, trying to get away. As an adult, I have motherfuckers coming after me in my dreams that are nightmares. A difference, though, today and for a long time, I'm able to fly in my dreams, in my endeavors in getting away, and I do get away. And, you know, like I said, it's been a standing situation now that whenever I do have one of those flying dreams, something takes place in my actual life that's for the betterment of myself. It kind of gives me clarity, or something just changes drastically in my life. Now, having read that, I want to read this out. Okay, this just happened a few days ago. This is dated March 15, 2017, and it came from my boss, my now boss. You know, the woman I spoke of earlier, the woman who I said, you know, said about this other person that I've been talking about throughout the show, how that it could be because, you know, she's a woman and, you know, she's afraid, you know, giving her an out, so to speak, or more so understanding her not getting up and going to the door. But yet, would she have just as well understood me not getting up and not going to the door? I guess not. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm not supposed to be afraid. Really. But anyway, my boss had written me a really long letter concerning something else that I had told her about this person. Actually, what I had told her was of a situation that was thus. Okay, let me just say, a day or two ago, we had a really big snowstorm up here in New York. Okay, and when I came to work, all right, I didn't go to work that day, but she did. She came to work in that snowstorm. Although you know, all the news media is telling us, you know, stay off the road. But see, she's that kind of person. She don't listen to shit. I mean, she's gonna do what she's gonna do. But then again, understand, she don't do nothing at work anyway. So to her, she'd rather be at work than stay at home. Picture that shit. Who does that? I mean, granted, there are people who are like that, but then again, in more cases than not, when a person's like that, when they do go to work, they do at least do something. But then again, you have those people who would rather be at work than at home, but they'd rather be at work doing nothing than at home doing nothing. Really. But anyway, so she came to work that day, and she was there all day and did absolutely nothing, because when it's just one person there in the mailroom, an email is sent out to all the sections as to telling them that, being that the mailroom is understaffed, they have to come to the mailroom to pick up their mail and or packages. There'll be no mail run that day, only one person. And therefore, the person who is there, all they do is just sit and wait for whomever to come, if they do come. And that's what she did that day when she came to work in that snowstorm. Anyway, the next day when I came to work, okay, I get in at 8 o'clock in the morning. She gets there before 8 o'clock in the morning even. But that's another issue. Anyway, 8 o'clock, I came in. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock comes, okay? By 10 o'clock, she is out on her mail run. I say her mail run because she doesn't do the mail run as she was told to do the mail run. She does the mail run as she wants to do the mail run. So therefore, I say she was out on her mail run. Anyway, at this point, she's out on her mail run. And the doorbell rings. And I open the door to the back ramp. And I look out there, snow everywhere. I mean, so much snow that the person who has to deliver packages that he's delivering, he can't even really get up on the ramp. And like, when I saw that, honestly, it made me sick. I mean, I felt physically ill, because then I thought to myself, damn, she couldn't even lift up a phone and call the area for those people to come and shovel the snow off the ramp. She didn't even do that. However, that's what I do all the time. When I see that there's snow out there to be moved, well, more so when I see that, you know, the ramp has been cleared of snow, I call immediately and say, yo, nobody has come by yet, and, you know, remove the snow from the ramp. And, like, we got people coming in that deliver packages and so on and so forth. So, anyway, like I said, she didn't do that. Sat there again from 8 to 10 o'clock. She knew the snow was out there, but didn't do nothing. But anyway, I called, so it's on me to go on and call somebody to tell them to come remove the snow, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, because I felt like I felt, I didn't send my boss an email because she had told me previously to stop sending her email. Well, no, she had told me to stop sending her emails about everything that this person does. But remember, the boss previously had said, whatever she does, write it up. That's what I was told. So that's what I was doing based upon what I had been told previously. But now this boss, this woman is different on her behalf. She told me, stop writing everything that she does and like sending me an email about that. And I mean, you know, she sent me an email telling me that. So I said, oh, shit. So I guess I can't tell her no more stuff about her. And therefore I wasn't, because that email she sent me about a month or two ago. So therefore I haven't written her since then. So anyway, as I was saying, when I saw this situation with the snow there as it was, it hadn't even been touched. As I said, it made me sick. So when I was out later on in the afternoon, and someone still hadn't come to clear the snow off, and I was down by the boss's area, and I wanted to go and tell her, you know, how I was feeling. Not that I wanted her to do anything, because I've already said what needed to be done. I told the person who should be told what was to be done. Anyway, I just wanted to tell her, you know, how I felt, which was sick. And why did I feel sick? Because evidently this person was here yesterday, sat there all day yesterday, and did nothing. Didn't even pick up the phone to call someone and tell them that we need someone to remove snow off the back ramp. Because they do have people that come in for snow emergencies for that very purpose. But anyway, so I told her, but let me also say I didn't really want to go tell her this, because she had told me before, you know, stop telling her everything. So, you know, I was in doubt as to if I should or should not. But anyway, I did. I went and told her, just like I told her that, like, right now I feel sick. I feel nauseous because of what I just said. Anyway, I went on after I told her that, you know, and I didn't wait for no response, because I didn't expect no response. Or more so, the response that I would have got, I didn't want to hear it anyway. Because, matter of fact, she began to tell me something, like, my eyes rolled to the back of my head, and I just said, wait. I just came to tell you, you know, blank, 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 blank. Anyway, I went on and did what I had to do, did the mail, well, not the mail room, but delivering packages hither and thither. Anyway, when I got back to the office, I had received an email from her. And I'll just read the last paragraph so that you all can understand, how can I put it? I'll read the last paragraph so that you all can relate to what I said about those flying dreams that I have had and do have. All right, I get back to the office and I see this email on my computer. She wrote, "Your repeated accusations / complaints against this person are becoming frustrating. Your repeated disrespect towards me over these complaints is becoming even more frustrating." She said then further, "I will be sending you a calendar invite for Friday so that we can discuss further." And that is what happened. But however, I decided, okay, if I am going to be in a sit down with the boss, to have my union rep. That's what we said. If you're going to have a conversation with the boss, have a union rep. And I did do that. I wanted to have a union rep there because I knew what it was more so going to be about. She just wanted to have me in there and then lecture me about this person. And about how I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. Not at all. And so now, long story short, my thing is I know I got to get out of this job that I'm currently in. Although I loved it, I like it, it's easy as pie. I've never had a job so easy. But with this person in there, I can't be there. Because I can end up, you know, I can end up being arrested. Because something could happen and who knows what might happen next. Anyway, I was told that I have only a few seconds left for the show. So, I've got all that off my chest. I hope that some of you all can relate to what I said. And like I said, the main thing that I'm saying there is that now I realize that I've got to get out the mailroom. Although I don't want to, but it's necessary that I do. So with that being said, I'm going to say till next week, and next week we'll get to some of the issues that we didn't get to tonight. So everybody have a good night, and have a good week as well, and happy spring.